Sit back, relax, and open that mind. You are now tuned in to the Paranormal Patriot.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
Continue with coverage on the Coronavirus Podcast Network.
Yes, welcome one, welcome all my parapatriots. Thank you for joining me this week, coming at you from the studio in Owosso, Michigan, as opposed to the lovely tropical confines of Mexico. I am your host, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for joining me this week. This week, we will be continuing our ongoing episodes of the coronavirus, but this one's going to be a little different. I will talk about the coronavirus, but what I really want to talk to you about this week, well, for lack of better terminology, we need to discuss the stupidity of people. Interesting things have happened to me in and around this state this week. We have a quarantine. We have a shelter-in-place order in my state. Now, I am considered an essential employee due to where I work at a repair facility, and therefore, it's business as usual, except now instead of working 5 days a week, they've cut us back to 4 days a week. Not a big deal. But we're going to get into the fact that you look around, it looks no different. But then I want to talk to you, and this is how we're going to start the show. I want to talk to you about people in and around your life that are just stupid, just idiots. Now, a couple of weeks ago, and it's been an ongoing issue, I talked to you about a gentleman by the name of Frederick Michael Plant. He is the gentleman that every time I posted a new show on any, and I'm on like a dozen now, podcast sites on Facebook. And it's great. What you do is you have a new show, you post it, and it builds a ton of listens because people are looking for stuff to listen to. Well, this guy, regardless of the fact that he had never ever listen to my show. Never listen to my show at all. He would come on and he'd just basically say, you are a fearmonger. You're perpetuating lies, fake news. He would tell me I'm a horrible person. I have no character. I have no moral compass. And, you know, first couple weeks, I'm like, whatever. Yeah, okay. Well, after a while, though, I could only take so much and I started coming back at him, telling him he's an idiot. If you're going to criticize me, and this goes for anybody that wants to criticize me, if you're going to criticize what I say, do me the favor of listening to my show so you can know what I say. This guy, this Frederick Michael Plant, had no idea. He was reading the show notes that I would post, and he just drew a conclusion on there. Well, the show notes, and this is a little bit of a podcasting secret, the show notes can be a little bit tricky. And what that is they're meant to draw you in. So some of these show notes I'd put on there, and it sounded like maybe a little fear-mongering going on, but if you listen to the middle part of the coronavirus series I'm doing, it kind of turned into, you know, there's nothing to worry about. But he sat there and just complained that I was spreading false news, I'm going to kill people, blah, blah, blah. Well, as I started going back and forth with him, other people on these sites started chiming in. And the best part about it is, apparently this guy has made a name for himself in the podcasting community for being an asshat. Everyone that saw me going back and forth with him said, Tom, this guy's an idiot. All this guy is trying to get you to do is come onto his show, and he hosts a show called EchoPlexMedia.com. It's a horrible, horrible show. First off, the sound quality is horrible. Secondly, all they do is they bring people who differ their views, which is fine, but then they ridicule them. And if that person starts coming back with some very good, valid points, all they do is they interrupt, they cut him off, they overspeak him, so that person can't make any views. And they call that a show. It's not a show. It's a roast is what it is. So all these people are coming onto these sites saying, Frederick Michael Plant, you're an idiot. You are a liberal troll. All you're doing is riling people up to get on your show so you can try and ridicule them. And he would just, literally, he would copy and paste comments from the previous week and put them on my comments as to me. And I'm like, this is all you've got. Well, there was a person that came on there that said, listen, Frederick Michael Plant, you don't have to like what Tom says. Scroll by. And everybody was saying, yeah, scroll by. Grow up. Well, this asshat decided to go after that lady too. And, oh, lo and behold, that lady was an administrator, a moderator, or whatever they call them on Facebook. And she said, listen, jerk, and that was putting it politely, keep it up and you're gone. Well, he decided to keep it up and she banned him. And what I'm finding out is I've had a lot of people contact me that belong, because I post my email address out for everybody to contact me. Well, they got it. And they said, look, we know who this guy is. He's just out there to make people's lives miserable. He, at this point, from what I understand, has been banned from every single podcasting site on Facebook that he was on. He cannot post his podcast. And last week was the first week where he did not comment. And kind of sucked. Because as I told him, I said, listen, you can continue to comment to me because you are building the exposure of my post up leaps and bounds. So this guy got banned. And this is what these liberals do, is they just ridicule you. They talk over you. Their theory is, I'm the loudest. And when I'm the loudest, I get my point across. Even though their points are not even close to being valid. But this past week, I'm perusing Facebook, and there is a guy I used to work with. You know, we were okay. I mean, he's a good guy, for the most part, I guess. I mean, he friend requested me a couple months ago, and I accepted it. You know, I hadn't worked with him in probably 2 years. And before I get into what he posted, I want everybody to know, if you post something that you know is political, or maybe even controversial, don't act surprised and flabbergasted and amazed and shocked when you start getting alternate opinions or completely different opinions as to what you posted. If you are going to put out there that Donald Trump is an idiot, you best expect to have other people come back and tell you otherwise. Well, that's what this guy did. He decides to post on Facebook how stupid Trump is at the way he's handling this and how awesome our governor, Gretchen Whitmer, a lot of you are starting to know her. We're going to get into that a little later in the show. How awesome she's doing. And, you know, I try not to go into these social media arguments, but there comes a point where I got to stand up and I got to just say, hey, you may have your opinions, but I'm going to have mine. Well, I told him exactly, and again, we'll get into what I told him later, but I told him exactly what I thought, and he just absolutely went off on me. And there comes a point that when you come at me, there is a point where you have broken that quote-unquote peace barrier, and you've broken it, and other people have come at me, and you know, whatever, you've got your points, but when you come at me and break that peace barrier with your ignorance, at that point, I'm going to let you know, A, the truth, and B, how I feel. Because it always seems, and this is the worst thing that social media has done to us as a society, it has given a voice to people who would never, ever say anything like that in front of your face. Me? I will tell you exactly how I feel, but there is too many people out in the world of social media that hide behind that computer screen. And then when they get called out on it, then they go all Hulk mode and turn into this raging gangster who's threatening to kill you and telling you how horrible it is. But you see them in public and they're like, hey, how you doing, man? Well, aren't you the same jaghole that threatened to kill me? That was a bad day. No, what it is you feel invincible behind that computer screen. if you're going to say something to me, you better be able to say that in front of my face. So this guy, we'll call him BW, when I responded with what I responded as, he just came unglued. And this is the thing. If you ever debate a liberal, and BW was no different. I've debated many, many liberals in my day. And I can count on one hand how many of them I said, yeah, those are really good points. Most of the liberal Democrats that you debate nowadays, you could, in this situation with BW, I could have literally typed out what he was going to say to me before he typed it out, for the simple fact all they're doing is regurgitating and repeating the mainstream media and the Democrats' talking points. They have nothing. All they're doing is reading, you know, the New York Post, New York Times, Washington Post, Huffington Post. They're listening to CNN, MSNBC, and they're saying, that's a good point. That's a good point. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that. They have no critical thinking skills. Now, we, and I'm not saying this just because I am a conservative or a, call yourself a Republican, a Libertarian, whatever you want to call yourself, it is a very commonly known fact that Republicans, conservatives, people on the right side of the aisle, these people are able to look at a story or look at an article or listen to a debate, and they're able to differentiate between what is an absolute outright lie and what is the truth. They're able to say, and I'm very well versed in this, if I'm wrong or if, listen, if a conservative does something wrong, I'm calling out the conservative, but God forbid a Democrat call out a Democrat. It doesn't happen. So this guy, I'm telling him, stop reading me the talking points and come up with a creative thought on your own. And he went off on me saying, you know, Trump should have done this, Trump should have done that. And again, I will go over all of this. But lo and behold, how the conversation ended is I was typing back to give him some facts that were going to blow his quote-unquote facts out of the water. They were blatant lies. So I went to hit it. Oh, lo and behold, all the comments of this post have been turned off. So basically, and in the meantime, he had his other Facebook friends coming on and commenting on that post saying, hey, BW, dudo here, this Tom Velasquez guy, he's right. Well, he turned off all the comments. I couldn't post anymore. You know, and that's typical liberal fashion. When you have them backed into a corner, rather than admit, okay, all right, you got me on that one. You may be right on that one. They just shut the whole conversation down because they cannot admit that they're wrong. So again, I don't want to argue with people online. But especially now, people are getting extremely rude. And I mean, before, people would go off on me telling me how much they disagree with my views. But now it's getting personal. They're bringing my family into it. They're calling me, you know, basically telling me I'm a horrible human being. But disrespecting me is one thing. But when you start bringing in my family, and BW has done this numerous times, and I told him, this is not about my family. This is about you and I. Grow up. Admit that what I'm telling you is absolutely true, and don't bring my family into it. My family can't defend itself in this conversation. But that's what they do. And he is a perfect example. To this day, I don't even know. I haven't even looked. I don't know if he blocked me or not, but at this point, I don't even care. So the point of this whole conversation we've had at the beginning of this show is, listen, people out there are getting rude. People are getting disrespectful, but most of all, people are getting afraid. People are afraid, and they've got a lot of time on their hands right now. I know so many of my friends that just got off Facebook. They couldn't deal with it anymore. People are sitting home and have nothing better to do than just peruse Facebook, and they're going to post anything they want. And when you counter them on their views, they have no other emotion other than to retaliate. Rather than have a normal debate, they want to retaliate. This is the biggest difference between a liberal and a conservative. A conservative will have a debate with you. They will have a conversation with you. Liberals do not have that ability in their head. I should say most of them. So I wanted to tell you about that because people are getting downright rude out there. They're getting scary. So if you're running across this, stand up for yourself. Make your voice heard. You know, if that person blocks you or defriends you on Facebook, was it really a friend? Was it really a family member you wanted to be a part of? Because right now, in my family, we're mixed. I've got family members that are complete and utter liberal, and I got family members that are complete and utter conservatives. It's come to the point where we just don't talk politics because it's gonna get ugly. So stand up for yourself. There are more people that support your views than you realize. And that's what I found out during this whole charade that I had with Frederick Michael Plant and even BW. I honestly expected to just get blasted by BW's liberal friends, by all of Frederick Michael Plant's liberal followers. They didn't have one. I had nobody during this whole conversation with BW and all of the conversation with Frederick Michael Plant. I had not one person tell me I was wrong. Everybody that commented was like, no, this guy's right. You're an idiot. So stand up for yourself. There are more of us out there than you realize. That's just my public service announcement for today. Now, coming up after the break, I want to talk to you about the quarantine or shelter-in-place order that numerous states have had. I'm going to tell you our situation in Michigan, and I'm sure it resembles the situation across the country. I'm going to talk to you about what are people thinking. And then I want to get into what is going on with this coronavirus response team. My illustrious governor, who's an idiot, I want to talk to you about that. This next segment is going to be intense. I'm calling out people. I'm calling them out for the stupidity that they have. And I'm going off on the government. So the next segment should be pretty interesting. I cannot wait to go off on the stupidity of people and the government, which I guess are kind of one and the same, right? Now, before you hit fast forward, please, please listen to the advertisement I have. It is very important to me. I'm recording it live, so if you hear me screw up, so be it. That's the joy of live radio or live podcasting, I guess. It is very important to me. I need your help to keep this show up and running during this pandemic. So listen to the advertisement. Don't fast forward it. And anything you can do to help me out would be greatly appreciated. But before I get into that, let's do this. Let's sit back. Let's relax. And let's open our minds. Because the next segment's going to be grand. My name is Tom Velasquez, and you are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'm going to let you down. Should have seen it coming, knew the checks would bounce. In a final battle, I'm a cheap motel. Guess I'll keep on driving till the gas runs out. All right, everybody, as you know, Tom Velasquez, host of The Paranormal Patriot. This coronavirus has affected everyone. It has affected me. I normally rely on my weekly 9-to-5 job to pay for the bills that this podcast incurs. Well, unfortunately, with the coronavirus, my hours have dropped, therefore my pay has dropped. So in order to keep this show with the content, the quality, and the consistency that everyone's accustomed to, I need your help. And what I need you to do is go to patreon.com/theparanormalpatriot. All I'm asking for is $5 a month. $5 a month or 17 cents a day will help me keep this show running. Times are tough right now. So if you can't do it, I get it. I will not hold it against you. But if you can afford $5 a month, go to patreon.com/theparanormalpatriot. And what you get, I'll put your name on the show, and then I'm going to be working on some extra special content and extra special tchotchkes, merchandising, everybody. You will be the first in line, and you will get discounts. If you advertise on this show, if you come on this show for a guest spot, or you support me via Patreon, I will thank you by giving you discounts on merchandising. So go to patreon.com/theparanormalpatriot. If you can afford $5 a month, please, please help me keep this show going because times are tough and I get it and I hate asking for money,
but I guess desperate times call for desperate measures. So anything you can do, patreon.com/theparanormalpatriot. And for those of you who support me, I thank you in advance.
You could be the skyline tonight. You could be the skyline tonight. Those stars in your eyes, a silhouette in the sky, a work of art in the night. You could be my skyline tonight. So dark in the light, a fingerprint, one of a kind, the horizon of mine. You could be the one that turns my world around till sundown for life. Never seen such a fine design.
Alrighty, we are back. Now listen, I hate asking for my listeners for money. I hate it. But I didn't realize until my job schedule went down to 4 days a week and I lost a day's pay, how much of that weekly check goes into helping the internet cost, the cost of the equipment, the cost of everything to keep up this podcast. I didn't realize how much I valued that and how much I needed that until it wasn't there. So really, all I'm asking is $5 a month. If you can spare that, I would appreciate it. And that's the last I'm going to say about it until probably next week. So let's get into what I want to talk about. And this is the stupid people in our states. And this isn't just in Michigan. Yes, I have firsthand knowledge of how stupid people are in Michigan. But it's not just Michigan. So right now, I'm going to list for you, the states as of, let's see, what is it, 3/28, March 28th, 2020. I'm going to list for you the states, and there's, I believe, 21 of them that are in shelter in place or just straight up quarantine. 196 million people. 196 million people are under quarantine or shelter in place. The 21 states that are in shelter in place are Wisconsin, Minnesota, Hawaii, Ohio, Louisiana, Delaware, California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Connecticut, Michigan, West Virginia, Oregon, Indiana, Washington, Vermont, Massachusetts, New Mexico, Idaho, and Colorado. 196 million people have basically been told to stay at home. But now, what is a shelter in place law defined as, or executive order, I shouldn't say, it's not really a law. Now, for those of you who think the National Guard or the military is going to come in and enforce this, that's not true. They are here for basically a humanitarian effort to help build field hospitals, to help with the distribution of medical supplies. They're not here to enforce a quote-unquote quarantine. But what a shelter-in-place order is. Now, first off, when you talk shelter-in-place, you have to look at who is an essential worker and who is not an essential worker. So basically, let's go into essential workers. Of course, healthcare. Anybody in the hospitals or any healthcare worker that does not work in a field that's deemed non-elective surgery. Basically, hospitals and ERs, they are, of course, deemed essential. Police officers, paramedics, firefighters, essential. Post office, UPS, FedEx, their delivery services are considered essential. Automotive repair shops and their suppliers are deemed essential. Now, this one hits home for me because I work in the automotive repair field. And I fielded this past week in Michigan because Monday, Governor Whitmer put into place, hey, we're going on lockdown starting midnight Tuesday morning. So from Tuesday, Wednesday, I had Thursday off and I worked Friday. The days that I worked, I took a number of calls from people who were surprised that we were open because they didn't deem us as essential. And at first there was a lot of confusion when Governor Whitmer issued this order because she issued this order but didn't really spell out who was essential. And she says, go to this website, michigan.gov, and coronavirus, and it'll tell you. No, it didn't. So strike one, Governor Whitmer. The website is a complete mess. But over time, we realized that car repair and auto supply services are an essential business, and their employees are essential, and grocery stores. I forgot grocery stores. God forbid. Grocery stores are essential employees. But I received a lot of calls from people who were surprised that we were essential. And the only thing I can figure out on this, and I'm happy for it. Trust me, I want to work. The only thing I can think of is people still need their cars. And with that being said, this past week, it's been slow, but we are doing a lot of work. And the thing is, a lot of the work we're doing are big jobs. People need their vehicles, and people, I think, are very afraid, and they're getting their car fixed right now. They say, I might need my car, and I can't have it running like crap, or I can't have the brakes gone. These people are getting the work done, and as the owner of the business and I have stated, we are forever grateful for those people that have come in. But what is the definition of shelter at home? So basically, unless you have to go get gas, you have a medical appointment that you have to go to, you have to go to the grocery store, you are told to stay at home. So with that being said, Tuesday morning when I drove to work, I didn't expect to see barely any cars on the road as I drove to work. And I leave at 10 to 7 every morning. Well, 10 to 7 in the morning, I'm driving down my road and I got two cars on my behind down my subdivision road. And I come up to, they call it M21. It's a major thoroughfare through Owosso. It's a four-lane highway. And I have to wait 30 seconds, which isn't a lot for a lot of people, but for Owosso, that's quite a bit. I had to wait 30 seconds to turn right. And all the way down M52 to get to work, I was behind six or seven cars. And I'm thinking to myself, where are all these people going? So Tuesday, a lot of cars. Tuesday night, a lot of cars. Wednesday, a lot of cars. Wednesday night, a lot of cars. I didn't work Thursday, so we kind of just hung out around the house. Well, you are able to, as long as you are with your family, you're able to walk around the neighborhood. And listen, in my little subdivision, I love my subdivision. And during this whole pandemic, I have seen more people walking in the subdivision than I ever have. It's just like people are like, oh my God, I'm quarantined to my home. I got to get out. Well, in the middle of summer, you never see this amount of people walking our neighborhood, but there's something in our heads that think we got to get out of the house. And it might be going for me. Now, a lot of times my wife and I will go for a walk through the neighborhood just to get out and see things. Well, Thursday, that's what we did. We walked 2 miles through our neighborhood. And during those 2 miles, I have never, ever seen the amount of cars going through my neighborhood than I did Thursday during a shelter in place. We couldn't believe it. Yes, there's people walking, and that's great. We socially distanced. That's great. But people are just out joyriding right now, and I get there's a lot of people out there, well, I'm safer in my car. Yeah, you probably are. But a lot of these people are not just joyriding. They're going to the store. They're going to pick up a beer. They're going to pick up anything. They're just going to the restaurant to pick up some food. And this is where my issue is. And I have to ask every one of my listeners in every one of those states I listed, what are you seeing? If you have a shelter-in-place order in your state, where you live, what are you seeing? Are people sheltering in place? Because right now, it's not happening in Michigan, or at least in my neck of the woods. People, Wednesday night, I'm driving home from work, driving north on M52. I drive by a group of kids, probably 10 to 12 kids, just hanging out, walking down the street. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Where are their parents? And as I drive by what they call Bentley Park, there's a full 5-on-5 basketball game going. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? The problem is with this shelter in place, at least in Michigan, and I want every one of my listeners who is in a shelter in place state, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. And I want to let everybody else know what it's like in their neck of the woods. Because in my neck of the woods, where I am in the central part of Michigan, I'm in Owosso, Michigan, central part. People aren't taking this seriously. You drive by the stores are full.
I get it. You have to get food. You have to get gas. Some people have to go to work. I get that. But on Tuesday night, I'm driving home, and through downtown Owosso, I'm stopping in downtown Owosso. They have the lights timed, so you're stopped at every single light, and there's four of them. Downtown Owosso is probably half mile long, and there's four stoplights, and you get stopped at every one of them. In every light I stopped at, I'm looking over, and there is people who shouldn't be on the road. They're not working. They may be going to the store, but they sure don't look at it. There's 70, 80-year-old people driving around. There's kids driving around. And I'm thinking to myself, this is how we got to this point. And this is where I want to start going off on people. The purpose of a shelter in place is to reduce the amount of contact you have with your fellow neighbor and your fellow human. People aren't looking at it like that. There are too many people out there that are looking at this as, hey, I get a 3-week vacation. I can do whatever I want. That's not the case. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a pandemic. And I understand that this is something that nobody has really dealt with in their lifetime. You have to listen to what they're saying. When they say social distancing, they don't mean if I'm at the store and I'm looking to try and find the tomato soup or something, that doesn't mean you jump in front of me, and basically brush up against me to grab the can of chicken noodle soup. You say, sir, may I grab that chicken noodle soup? And I'm backing away. Everybody acts like this is just business as usual. Hey, I got a 3-week vacation. They're driving around town. They're going to McDonald's. They're going to Burger King. They're going to Applebee's and picking up their food. This isn't a vacation. They are doing this to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Nobody has told these younger kids how important it is to stay away. My kids, I have put the fear of God in them. Listen, you may or may not get sick, but you may contract the coronavirus, and you may bring it home, and you may bring it to your mother, who already, because she has cancer, has an immune system that has been compromised. You may bring it home to me, because my family has problems or has a history of immune system problems, and I inherited it. My daughter has inherited it. My daughter has friends that are like, hey, you want to hang out? And she's like, no, we're kind of in a shelter-in-place quarantine situation. Well, I'm just going to go to my sister's then. And this is the problem. It's not just my daughter's friends. This is the situation with everybody. Nobody's taking this seriously. This Wednesday night, I'm bored. I'm going through Facebook. I come across a picture of our old neighbor in a bar holding up a drink saying, coronavirus quarantine, good times. And I'm expecting this to be prior to the shelter in place. No, it was Wednesday night. And I'm like, how in the world are you in a bar? And her response to me was, well, we know a friend that owns a bar downtown, and he opened it up for me and my husband, and we got about 30 people in here. I kind of responded, how's that social distancing going for you? And I get a smiley face. Again, if you're listening to this and you feel the need to just go out and hang out with your friends and just hang out in public, my father-in-law wants to go golfing. He's, I'm sure, going to be pissed because they just closed down the golf courses in my state. What I want everybody to know is the whole purpose of this shelter-in-place order, whether in my state or your state, is to limit exposure to one another. Now, yes, your family, you're exposed all the time to each other, but you are limiting exposure to your sister, to your brother, to your friends, to your mom and dad, to your mother-in-law, to your father-in-law, to the general public. And until we decide that we're going to adhere to this, this isn't going to get any better. This sucks. This really, truly sucks. I normally am someone that when I have a day off or I have a weekend, I go somewhere. I go to the store, I go to here. I'm always moving. So this is a change for me.
to be honest with you, because I go to work 4 days a week, I am terrified that I am going to contract this coronavirus and give it to my wife. Terrified. So I'm wearing my gloves. I literally, in a 10-hour day, every hour, am wiping everything down, door handles, countertops, everything, spraying Lysol all over, just to try and stay safe. Anytime I get a set of keys, zoop, they get wiped down and sprayed down, just trying to kill this virus. The problem is, I pretty much know that because I am in the public eye, and I am essential, and I am in a very vulnerable position, I will probably contract this. And it scares the living daylights out of me. The problem is, I'm in a horrible situation because I make very good money where I'm at. And that money allowed me to pay all my bills and do everything I needed to do. For me to stop working and go on unemployment, what I would make on unemployment for a month would not equal what I make for a week at my current job. So at this point, we are in a catch-22. There are a lot of companies that we have bills through, and we don't have a lot of bills. We have our house, we have our camper, we have my car, and just that's pretty much it. But, you know, the camper, haven't heard anything from. The car, they said, look, if you can't do your April payment, don't worry about it. Don't make it. We'll just put it to the end. Wells Fargo, who I have my mortgage through, that's a different story. You know, Wells Fargo, we did not sign on with them through a mortgage. They bought our mortgage, and I wasn't happy about it because I heard a couple bad things about Wells Fargo. And, you know, I'm calling them to say, hey, you know, things might be tough. What is your procedure for mortgage payments being late? And I couldn't get through to anybody. So they posted online. I got an email, and they said, listen, if you can't make your next three payments, that's fine. We're going to waive them. And we're going to waive any late fees, and we're not going to report it to the credit companies. So if you want to skip your next three payments, that's fine. But here's what their plan is. Come the fourth month, you have to make the fourth month payment as well as the other three that you missed right then and there. Or then they put late fees on, they report you to your credit bureau. What kind of customer support is that? Now, I think it's true that Chase Bank in Canada has forgiven all credit card debt. Now listen, we bailed, and when I say we, you and I, the taxpayers of this country in 2008, bailed these banks out. It is high time that these banks say thank you and help us out. There are a lot of mortgage companies out there that are saying, listen, if you can't make a payment, that's fine. Don't make a payment. We're not going to report you. We're not going to put late fees on. We'll just move it to the end of the loan, which is fine with me. Help everybody out. This is not my fault. This is not your fault that we have a pandemic. It is not my fault that my job is being cut back. It is not your fault that your job was deemed non-essential, so therefore you are now unemployed. Somebody needs to step up. There's a lot of banks out there, Bank of America, who before this, I didn't have anything good to say, but give it to Bank of America. They're saying 3 months. If you can't pay your mortgage for 3 months, or you don't have a loan through us and you can't pay it for 3 months, don't worry about it. We'll just put it on the back end of your loan. Take care of yourself. Be safe and make sure your family's set. Wells Fargo, on the other hand, says, yeah, sure, you can take 3 months of payments off, but on the fourth month, we expect that four-month payment right there. Well, if I can make 4 months worth of payments, I would have been making every month payment, you dumbasses. I've heard it said before, and I truly believe this is true. You see who and what a business truly is in times like this. The business like I used to work at that my brother still works at, where he's a sales manager for selling vehicles. He's at a dealership. Sales dealerships, if you are in car sales, you're closed. They're making him come in. They're making him clean. They're making him walk and make sure that everything's doing well. To me, what's the point? What's the point of a shelter in place if these companies are making their employees come in? It says a lot about a company when they don't value their employees. My company that I'm working for now, he's doing everything he can to keep us working. I want to work. I need to work. And he knows that. And he's basically cutting costs. He's doing everything he can. He's not taking a salary to keep us paid. That is a company that values their employees. My brother's company, on the other hand, not so much. They're there. Hey, let's make a dollar. If we're paying you, you're working. I don't care if there's a pandemic. What company do you work for? Are you an essential or a non-essential worker? So what I want you to do is I want you to contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know, A, if you are an essential or non-essential worker, what your business has been doing to help you, and B, let me know what it's like in those states where there is a shelter-in-place order. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about our illustrious governor, or should I say the governor of Michigan. I have to differentiate because there are a lot of just ridiculous governors out there, but we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about what happened with this stimulus bill. I'm sure you know where I'm going to go with this, but you need to hear my thoughts on this because this is ridiculous. This should be a travesty that nobody's talking about. So, with that being said, sit back, relax, open that mind, tighten up that tinfoil hat. We're going to need it the next segment. My name is Tom Velasquez. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back.
Why'd you turn me to a monster? They don't prosper, they just suffer. Eyes on my back, eyes all on my neck. There ain't no remorse, there's no comfort. How come you don't take me serious? How the hell are you not seeing this? You've covered your eyes, put on this disguise. I see all of your attention stage. See these lights all around.
August 27th through the 29th, 2020, the Upper Peninsula Paranormal Research Society, the Sioux Events Incorporated, and Kewadin Casino are very proud to present the largest paranormal gathering of its kind in the Midwest. The 11th annual Michigan Paranormal Convention will yet again bring the biggest names of the paranormal industry to Michigan's oldest city, Sault Ste. Marie. The convention is held at the Kewadin Casino's Dreammakers Theater. Experts and television stars will be on hand to cover such topics as paranormal investigating, psychic abilities, demonology, and ufology. Convention goers will be able to meet some of their favorite television paranormal investigators, so join them for 2.5 days as the biggest names in the industry speak on today's hottest topic, the paranormal. Again, August 27th through 29th, 2020, at the Kewadin Casinos, the 11th annual Michigan Paranormal Convention.
Alrighty, so we all know the coronavirus bill has officially passed now. With that being said, if you are a couple that makes, I believe it's under $150,000 a year, you will get $2,400 plus $500 for every child. If you are single, you will get $1,200 from the federal government. Now, there was a question asked to Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, how is this going to be paid out? Well, it's going to be direct deposit into your bank account. It's based on 2019 tax returns. And if you haven't filed your 2019 tax returns yet, it'll be based on your 2018 tax returns. But the key here is that Steve Mnuchin has said this is not going to be considered income, so you will not be paying an income tax for this. That is huge. Now, with that being said, everyone out there that's listening to this show that has gone and said Trump is not my president, that's not your check. I do not expect you to take that deposit and run with it, because this is phenomenal. This is a good thing to help the economy. But to get to this point was an absolute nightmare. Now, let me get my notes here. This stimulus bill was brought forth by Trump and by President Trump. I shouldn't call him Trump. By President Trump and the Republicans to help the economy and the citizens. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, how is this going to help the economy, Tom? You give people money. In my case, I have my wife and myself and my three kids at $3,900. If I receive $3,900, I'm investing it into the economy. I'm buying things. People that are struggling right now, that don't have a job, that is good money for them. That is going to help them immensely. The problem that we had is all during the course of the negotiations in the House and the Senate, the Democrats, they were on board. This was a slam dunk. This was unanimous. The Democrats were on board. They were going to go ahead and it was going to pass unanimously until Nancy Pelosi flew in from San Francisco and screwed everything up. After Nancy Pelosi came on board and got involved in this, it turned into a circus. The Democrats loaded it with non-essentials. This is what the Democrats wanted to put into a coronavirus bill that was designed to help the American economy and the American people. You tell me if this has anything to do with the coronavirus. They wanted corporate pay statistics by race and race statistics for all corporate boards at companies receiving assistance. They wanted to bail out all current debt of the Postal Service. They wanted to require early voting. They wanted to require same-day voter registration. They wanted $10,000 in bailouts for student loans. After Pelosi arrived, they wanted the full offset of airline emissions by 2020. They wanted greenhouse gas statistics for individual flights. Now, what that means is you're sitting on a flight and you're watching the flight attendants go through what to do in the emergency situations. God forbid you have a water landing or anything like that. At the end of that, they're going to tell you how much greenhouse gases that this vehicle or this airplane emits during its flight. There was a provision in that bill that they have to do that. They wanted retirement plans for community newspaper employees. They wanted $15 minimum wage minimum at companies receiving assistance, and they wanted permanent paid leave at companies receiving assistance. 90% of what is in what the Democrats wanted in that bill after, and I want to reiterate, after Nancy Pelosi arrived, was BS. The big one, and the sticking point originally, was they weren't going to approve it because there was no funding for Planned Parenthood. So a bill that was designed to help people survive the coronavirus, the Democrats wanted to stick in there a bill that would provide funding to an organization whose sole basic purpose for being is to provide abortions. In other words, exterminating human life. How does that help with the coronavirus? It doesn't. The bigger question is, how did Nancy Pelosi have in her hand a 1,000 to 1,400, I've heard everything from 1,400 down to 1,000-page document. How did she have that in her hand so quickly? Are you going to tell me that this wasn't pre-planned? That they did not plan on putting all of this pork and all of this BS into this bill? So it stalled. And it hurt many people. And in the meantime, they're telling people Donald Trump is killing people. Well, it's the Democrats. The Democrats, all they had to do
was go by the original plan. Let's put everything in here that revolves around helping people, helping businesses, and helping the economy for the coronavirus. That's all they had to do. And the Democrats and the Republicans, there was a bipartisan support for this. The stock market was just skyrocketing because, oh my gosh, in the time of Trump, there's bipartisan support. And then Nancy Pelosi shows up and she derails the whole system. And I have had so many listeners contact me, and these are Democrat listeners, tell me that they are done with the Democratic Party. This was the last straw. Now, I guess Russian collusion, impeachment, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, just smear campaigns wasn't enough. But this was the tipping point where the Republicans are genuinely trying to help the American people, genuinely trying to help the American economy. And the Democrats were all aboard it. It was great. There was unity. Something we've never seen in the time of Trump. And then all of a sudden it got derailed when Nancy Pelosi came in. People are seeing this. People are now starting to see that there's something going on in the Democratic Party that they are not really for us. This was all a ploy to get their pork and to get their subsidies put in there. Listen, you can't tell me Nancy Pelosi wasn't receiving a huge kickback from Planned Parenthood. You can't tell me that she did not, because it's in the bill right now, she did not receive a huge kickback from the Kennedy Center. So a bill that was designed to provide support and protection of the American citizen, the American worker, and the American economy, this bill that was passed does not even come close to resembling the original bill. The original bill was strictly a bill to protect the American worker, to help the economy, and to basically provide funds and equipment during this coronavirus pandemic. Then the Democrats got involved, or I should say Nancy Pelosi, and she has a 1,000 to 1,400 page bill on standby, apparently, giving it to people, saying this is what we're going to accept. If you do not accept that, this bill doesn't pass. So Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi impeached the president for a quid pro quo in Ukraine. How is this any different? We had a bill in place, ready to go, ready to get unanimous bipartisan support. And then this witch comes in from San Francisco and derails the whole thing. And yes, it got completely reworked, but there is still so much crap in there. The Kennedy Center. The Senate just got a huge raise in this bill, just to let you know. Does that not infuriate you? We are all struggling here. Our hours are being cut. We are unemployed. We have no idea what's going to happen in the near future because we have no idea where this virus is going to go. But Nancy Pelosi comes in, derails the whole thing, the Democrats and Republicans cave, and they say, okay, we'll add these things in here just to get this bill passed. This is my problem. Don't add this crap to it. And what happened? What happened to the line item veto? Because Barack Obama, during his presidency, he used that to the full hilt. He had a bill come through to his desk, and if he didn't like something in that bill, that thing's gone. That thing's gone. Why didn't Trump do that? Why didn't he just accept the bill that the Democrats passed or wanted that gave support to the coronavirus and said, oh, all this other crap? Nope. But the bigger question, and the question you Democrats have to answer for yourself, is do the Democrats really care about the American people? It's an obvious answer. That obvious answer is no. Because if they did, if Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer really cared about their constituents and the American people, they would have just let this bill ride. You know, fight that battle for another day. But no, they had to go in at this time when America is hurting, when the economy, the stock market is tanked, when people are out of jobs and people are afraid. They chose this opportunity, this time, to start adding their
pet projects, their endeavors, their subsidies, their livelihood, because you can't tell me all of this pork, all of this crap that the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, that she put in there, you can't tell me she was not getting kickbacks from everybody. Her original bill had $13 million going to Howard University. Somebody needs to look at that. Somebody needs to look at Howard University and see where that ties in. Because I guarantee you there's a criminal aspect to that. But now we're going to move on. Because I have a governor in my state who's an absolute idiot. My governor has taken upon herself to criticize and ridicule the president for his response. And the Democrats in general, especially in this state, they have gone and followed her lock, stock, and barrel. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, Gretchen Whitmer, who is the governor of my state, has absolutely no clue what she's doing. None whatsoever. She has taken this pandemic and basically said, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm going to blame Trump. Now, there is a reason that she is going to blame Trump. There's twofold reasons. First of all, she has no clue what she's doing. Listen, the government, the federal government is not obligated to give states anything. That's not how our government is set up. The states were designed to fend for themselves. The government, the federal government, was designed to come in only when needed. Now, some people will say, well, they're needed now. But Michigan has not done anything to try and procure any equipment, anything whatsoever. They're relying on the federal government, and the federal government is the middleman in this situation. If you want lower prices and you want it quicker, eliminate the middleman. Get it on your own. And Donald Trump is 100% right when he says, listen, this is their issue. Michigan, New York, New Jersey, all of these governors that are criticizing Trump for his response, they're trying to save face because they were not prepared. And they have no idea whatsoever. And this, I'm looking squarely at you, Gretchen Whitmer. You have no idea what to do to resolve this issue. So your only recourse of action is to criticize Trump. Now, there's twofold. She is going to make it seem like she is the savior. Because when this is all said and done, guaranteed she's going to come out and say, well, we didn't get any help from the federal government. We did it on our own. I did it on my own. She is going to look at this as a chance to build herself up when she did not do a thing. Listen, look at what Ohio did. You look at what Ohio did. Go and do the research. I've done it. Within 5 days, Michigan has done the exact same thing. She doesn't have an original thought in her head. She has no idea how to run this government. She has no idea how to govern in an emergency. So she is riding the coattails of the Ohio governor. The Ohio governor said shelter in place. Well, we're sheltering in place. The Ohio governor declared a national emergency. We're going to declare a national emergency. Honestly, it amazes me because she has to have somebody in her support staff that has a brain in her head or in their head that says, listen, we need to do this. So either there's nobody in her inner circle that is smart enough to figure out how to do this, or she's listening to them but saying, no, we're just going to follow what this guy over here in Ohio is doing. Because right now, all she's doing is blaming Trump. She's blaming the federal government for lack of action. When in fact, the lack of action is on her. Now, I've had Democrats just all over me saying, well, Trump didn't react in time. Now, let's talk about that. Because when he closed the borders to China, what was every mainstream media and every Democrat, they were just crying it to the hills. Racism. The mainstream media, every Democrat that I ever talked to was all aboard this. You can't do that. You're a xenophobe. But that, right there, ladies and gentlemen, it has been proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that saved us time, that bought us time to prepare for this. I've had Democrats, and even Gretchen Whitmer said this,
that he was not listening to the WHO, the World Health Organization. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the World Health Organization, which the Democrats hold to an illustrious place in society, they listened to China back in January when China told the World Health Organization, oh, this isn't contagious between humans. But now that Donald Trump didn't listen to them, oh, he's at fault. But everybody in the flipping world listened to them in January. Now they're telling us, well, Donald Trump, he killed the infectious disease department. Nope. That was actually begun to be dismantled by Obama, your illustrious Obama. It wasn't done by Trump. He just didn't do anything to complete the dissolution of it. But you're not going to hear that from our governor or many other governors around the country, nor the mainstream media. They're going to pin everything on this pandemic on Trump. But lo and behold, right now, 60% of the American people are positive, and they are very confident in the way that the Trump administration is handling this pandemic. Now, you're not going to hear that in the mainstream media. The Democrats aren't going to say that. And every time I say that to a Democrat, the conversation stops. Donald Trump is doing everything he can, and he's doing the right things. And he's doing it when he should. He closed the borders to China well in advance of when he should. But you know what? That bought us some time. And when he did, he was chastised for it. He was ridiculed for it because he's a xenophobe. He is racist. But now, all these Democrats and all these mainstream media people are saying, well, you didn't do enough. What more do you want this guy to do? What more could he have done? I've got my idiot of a governor going on Twitter and going on TV every other day chastising this president. And trust me, the people of Michigan are starting to see behind her facade. First of all, she has no public speaking skills whatsoever. She's horrible. I can't even listen to her because she has no public speaking skills. But secondly, they can see that this is just a game. This is a game that she is trying to make herself look better. And there's no way she can. She is not prepared. She has no idea whatsoever on how to resolve this issue. And she is banking on the federal government to bail her out. Well, the federal government just gave her emergency money that they shouldn't have. Because listen, if you're not doing what you need to do, and she's not, she has no clue what to do. She's following other states' guidelines. Until you know what to do, until you can prove that you are capable and competent of performing the basic actions of an emergency declaration, you don't get that money. But the Trump administration gave it to her anyway. And was she grateful? Was she thankful? No. She went out on TV and just completely ridiculed the governor or the president again. And here's the other reason why she's doing it. And mark my words, she is setting herself up as a VP candidate for Joe Biden. Mark my word, right now. That is why she gave the response to the State of the Union address. Because Joe Biden's from Pennsylvania. They are having the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee. And Gretchen Whitmer is going to be the VP. Because they need Pennsylvania, they need Wisconsin, and they need Michigan. The problem is, the majority of people in Michigan cannot stand Gretchen Whitmer. She is a horrible, horrible, horrible governor who has no idea what she's doing and should not be in her position. She actually had the nerve to blame the unemployment rate, the huge unemployment spike in Michigan, on President Trump. Really? Because you shut down every business. Now, granted, I think it was a good idea. I'll give you credit for that. It needs to be done. As much as I hate to say it needs to be done, we need to do it. We need to shelter in place, but you got to do it. You got to enforce it. If you're not going to enforce it, what's the point of having people shelter in place? I agree with you on the shelter in place, but don't blame Donald Trump for that. And then don't sit there and tell me that he has not been responsive. He has been
150% responsible where you've been reactive. And I can say this about Gretchen Whitmer. I can say this about 90% of the governors in this country. They are waiting on the federal government to bail them out, and that's not the federal government's job. The federal government's job is to just kind of oversee everything. The states are there to provide for themselves. And nobody can understand that. Nobody understands that that's the way it is done. Everybody thinks the federal government is this all high and powerful federal government. That's not the way it's designed to work. The way it's designed to work are the states are there to fend for themselves, and only if they need the federal government is the federal government going to become involved. Well, Gretchen Whitmer and numerous governors across this country were not prepared. They were banking on the federal government to become involved and basically bail them out. So what are they doing? What are they doing to earn their pay and earn their trust as a voter? In the case of Michigan, nothing. Gretchen Whitmer is doing nothing and then saying it's all Trump's fault. And it's all a ploy. It's a ploy to make herself look like the savior when this ends. Because it will end. It really will. And then when it ends, she's going to say, look, we did this without the help of Donald Trump. We did this because of me. But she's also setting herself up to be the VP on Joe Biden's ticket. And Joe Biden, if you're listening, I'm going to tell you right now that's a losing endeavor because the citizens of Michigan do not like Gretchen Whitmer. Even the people that voted for her, a lot of the people that voted for her do not like her, are not happy that they voted for her because she's horrible. She is the worst. Well, I can't. Jennifer Granholm was right there with her. But Jennifer Granholm never had this type of situation where you can see where true leaders rise above the rest and take control and take things into their own hands. They don't expect somebody else to do everything for them. Gretchen Whitmer is not a leader. Gretchen Whitmer is somebody that's trying to figure out how to do everything and she can't, so therefore she casts blame on somebody else. A true leader, like Donald Trump, will take this and rise above this and make this better. You're not seeing this in a lot of governors around the country. They are looking for help. Well, they are the help. Be a governor, be a leader. You were elected to that position. If you cannot be that leader, if the only thing you can do is cast blame on somebody else, you are not the person for that job. You need to step down and get somebody in there that is. These are times that we have never experienced. And we need true leaders. The true leaders will show. Gretchen Whitmer, you are not. You are absolutely not a true leader. So that's my thoughts on this show. Let me know what you think. What is your governor doing in your state right now? Do you agree with what the governor is doing? Are they banking on the federal government, or are they taking things in their own hand and making things happen? That's what I want to know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Now, we are in some pretty uncharted times right now, and things are scary. I mean, I am scared. I'm losing sleep. I'm stressed out beyond belief. The other day, I'm sitting at work and getting chest pains because I'm so stressed. We need to have some good news. And what I want to do is I want to start ending every show with a little bit of good news. Now, here in Michigan, we've been in a state of shelter in place. And again, that is a good call, but you need to enforce it. You need to stop these idiots that are just going out and acting like nothing's happening. If you really want to stop the spread of this, you'll do it. If it means getting the National Guard involved, you'll do it. Because something has to stop the spread of this. Be a leader. But what I want to do, we're in scary times. I want to end every show with a good note. And again, in Michigan here, we are in a shelter in place. So that means on my days off, on the weekends, and every day for my wife and kids, they're literally stuck at home. But this past Friday, I got out of work at 3 and got home about 4. And it was sunny, and it was a pretty nice day for the end of March in Michigan. It was upper 50s, almost 60, I think. And my wife took it upon herself to decide we are going to have essentially a campfire. Now, when we go camping as a family, we have what's called tonkas. Some of you may know what they are, some of you may not, but they're iron things that you put in the fire and you fill it with bread, and then you fill the bread with anything you want. We decided last night to have pizza tonkas, and they're called tonkas. I don't know, they're not Tonka trucks, but that's what they're called. And you cook them over the fire. And my wife made the fire, and my family sat around the fire. This is something we normally don't do, except when we're camping. And my family and I sat around the fire, and we just had a great time. And this is a time that you need to start spending time with your family, reconnecting with your family, because in the hustle bustle of everyday life, we lose sight of what we have, which is a great family. And this quarantine is going to do more for family life than anything could have ever done. Many families I talk to are playing games. They have family game night. They have family dinners. They're reconnecting with their kids. Kids are scared right now. They have no idea what is actually going on. And it's up to us as parents to reassure them. We don't lie to them. We tell them exactly what's going on, but we need to reassure them and try to make this whole shelter-in-place thing as comfortable as we can for them. And that's why I say let them go outside in the backyard. Let them play. Be as a family. But be smart about it. They're not having their friends over. They're not going on a walk with their friends. They're not going here. They're not going there. They're not going to the store. They're not going to the mall. It just isn't going to happen. But you can take this time and use it to reconnect with those you love. Because, listen, I get it. We are go, go, go today. Every day. That's our life right now. If it's not work, we've got after-school activities. And before you know it, our kids are grown and gone. Take this time in your shelter in place and reconnect it. Make memories. Make good memories. Make these memories where the kids look back at this and say, oh, I remember when we sat outside and made pizza tonkas and we had a great time. So they have good memories of this shelter in place and this coronavirus pandemic. Have them have good memories instead of, I was so scared. It's okay to be scared. Everybody's afraid right now because there's so much unknown. We are going to get through this. And when we get through this, I truly think that we as a society will be better. So do what you can, but if you are in a state that has a shelter in place, and even if you're not in a state that has a shelter in place, let's end this thing. Let's stop this as soon as we can, and the only way we can do that is just to literally avoid contact with the public. Do what you can. If you are an essential worker, continue to do what you're doing. Thank you. It is amazing how these essential workers, these restaurant, these McDonald's workers, these grocery workers, these mechanics are now the backbone of our economy. Without them, we'd be at a grind. We would be at a standstill. But because these essential workers are going to work every day, in literally, they are putting their lives on the line to make sure that we have a police service, we have a fire service, we have paramedics, we have somewhere to eat, we have somewhere to go to get our cars fixed, we have somewhere to get food and anything we need. They're putting their life on the line every day. And these people that we looked at all the time is, these guys, look at that, just a grocery store worker. These are the most important people in our lives right now. And we need to thank them because every day, all of you essential employees are putting your life on the line, essentially, and those that you love. And we need to recognize that, and we need to thank all the essential workers. So instead of going into the grocery store and giving the cashier grief, Say thank you. If you come across an essential worker who's there, who may need to work, and they want to work, but they are putting their life on the line, and those that they love, their lives are on the line. Thank them. Support them in any way you can. Because without them, you would be sheltered in place. So that'll be it for the show today. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And, you know, if you are in a shelter in place in your state, don't be an idiot. Just shelter in place. Get this thing over with. The sooner we get this virus over with, the sooner we can get back to our lives. But people don't realize that. People don't think, oh, this isn't anything big. Well, it's obviously big enough. Because even if it's not big, the government thinks it's big enough, and they're going to impose more and more regulations on us and more restrictions on us until you guys, those of you who are not complying with the shelter in place, until you do that, this isn't going to get any better. And it's going to get to the point, I've seen so many people complaining, oh, this is martial law, this is the military law. Well, you don't want it to come into play? Follow orders. It's as simple as that. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net with what's going on in your state. Is there a shelter in place going on in your state? If there is, are people complying? Let me know what your governor is doing. Are they ridiculing the federal government? And do you agree with the fact that let's just say my idiot governor, Gretchen Whitmer, do you agree with her that the federal government could be doing more? Or do you think that maybe you should have thought ahead and maybe be proactive about this? And lastly, do what you can to help out the show. Patreon.com/theparanormalpatriot, $5 a month, 17 cents a day is all I'm asking. I mean, that's all it will take is a couple of you every month to just keep this show going. So every little bit that you can give me and support the show is greatly appreciated. So that'll be the show this week. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll talk to you next week.
I was thinking back in time that laid out. I know I was trying to face the things that hurt me so long. Sometimes I feel